I think you're going to have to rotate that one.
I think you're going to destroy something. That's why you shouldn't mark anything.
Me?
Yeah.
I have like such a terrible reputation.
You got a horrible reputation.
Technology.
Sean, I was absolutely. I hope you don't take us the wrong way, but I was kind of saying the other day that maybe we should send you to the Iranian nuclear facilities instead of Stuxnet. Just like, hey like, guys,
like Inspector, who's the guy from the Pink Panther? Like I'm Inspector Clouseau.
Yeah, yeah.
Just let him walk around and he'll break it off.
Do you guys have a power cord? What's the voltage on this centrifuge?
Does anyone smell burning? Yeah.
I think that's probably a very good good way to begin this. So we are the Worldwide IT Guys. Steve.
I'm Dion.
This is Sean.
This is Gavin.
And yes, we are the Worldwide IT Guys, and this is podcast. Actually, I'm going to refer to this as 14B. We kind of had a misstep on podcast 14, so it did not get published, but we're hopeful that this one will, and we won't go into any of the other technical details with that. But yes, Sean, so you missed the, last time I spoke about all of this. I gave you a bit of crap because it seemed like every time I turned around, do you have both laptops that you currently have in possession?
Today, I have gone all day with just my new laptop.
No.
I have, yes. Right. I still technically have a second laptop that I'm in the process of getting rid of.
And where is that at right now?
Here in building?
It is in building, yes. Oof.
And going to stay here overnight?
I don't see why not, yeah.
Ooh, well, you know what? I've heard that one before. But
yeah, no, I'll do it, yeah.
That's fair.
I think I have transferred all my support connections and everything to this. That was the last remaining.
You have some notoriety for perhaps having some poor influence over electronic devices, whether they be mobile devices.
I seem to be very, I'm all butterfingers with electronics.
And accessories as well. And then I think I moved on to giving Gavin a bit of a hard time about his mobile devices, which didn't get to air. So I'll mention it again. You seem to go through this problem. The only reason I tell these stories is to give myself crap because I dunked my phone in the toilet.
In the shitter.
In the shitter.
And it was not a pleasant experience. And my phone did cease to work. But I've got a new one.
All right.
As a result, I am now
bigger and better.
Yes, I am sporting the 6 Plus, 6S Plus or whatever, just because why not? If I had to upgrade, go big, right? So that is.
But why don't you tell us about the week on the Windows phone?
The week on the Windows phone.
So you've been moved to a Windows phone, huh?
I was moved to a Windows phone briefly.
That was like a loaner attempt.
In order to have a mobile device.
Yeah.
Before I got a replacement, it was painful. It was. I was like, I'll be all right for, you know, a little while. Don't worry about it. I'll be all right. About 24 hours in, I was sending notes going, so what do I have to do? How do I get my new iOS device? It was a bit. There were certain things I liked about it, actually.
Did Skype work on it?
Believe it or not, Skype worked on it. And
It's got apps?
I liked the
it's got apps. I didn't realize that
it has Skype.
With that, when you're done, that's an interesting conversation to potentially have. But go ahead first, Steve.
But at any rate, little things that I did like about it, the alarm. Believe it or not, like I used my phone to wake myself up, and the alarm on this device, it starts with this Apple may have something similar, but I haven't ever just come across it. Like, I set an alarm. I didn't ask it to do anything special. And it starts with this very low little sound, and it builds into a bigger sound. And the longer you wait, the louder it gets. And it's just natural. It just does it as an alarm. And I was like, this is kind of nice. It was a gradual wake-up experience as opposed to what I tend to get, which is get the hell out of bed now. And that's not just my wife. Little things like that I didn't mind, but the whole, even the email experience, you'd think that Microsoft would build an Outlook client on their phone that would be like better than anything else. No, the iOS Outlook client, literally the client that is made by Microsoft, and deployed on the iOS device, is better than the Windows Phone mail client. How can that be? How can that be? So that's my little experience with the Windows Phone.
Well, there's some controversy in that world. I don't know if you guys saw the article on Ballmer at the last... I don't know what conference it was. It was actually just last week, but Microsoft's has changed their app strategy. So their app strategy used to be this thing called, like, I think called the Windows Bridge, where you... So they have a huge problem where they don't have enough apps.
Yes.
And their previous solution, which never got any traction, was something called like the Bridge. And what you would do is you would take your Android or iOS app, me as the developer for this app, and I would use the Bridge to convert it to like a Windows app. So it's almost like a cross-compiler kind of packaging deal. And it just people didn't like it. So they've switched their strategy. Just last week they announced this. And now they have something called the Universal App, where now you only develop for Windows, but if you develop for Windows Desktop, it will also run on Windows Phone. So they're hoping developers will like that. But what's sort of funny is, like, as their new CEO was explaining it, the way this report made it seem like it sounded... Who's their new CEO? Satya Nadella or something like that?
Satya, yeah.
So he's doing like this press. The reporter made it seem like Ballmer is in the audience, their former CEO, next to reporters. And as he's saying it, he just goes, nope, not going to work. Not going to look. Just like a total like Monday morning court. Like, how do I get rid of this son of a bitch? You know,
oh,
like,
my God. So that sounds kind of like what Mac did when they were going from the old Mac operating system to OS X, where they had the Carbon transition.
Yeah, exactly.
Rosetta.
Yeah, which is not a bad idea.
They had an application that would emulate OS 9 for you on your OS 10.
Yep. It says, that won't work. Ballmer was quoted as saying, while Nadella spoke.
That's great.
I mean, it's got to be, it was probably hard. He's probably so pissed. He's like, listen, I had to take over from Bill Gates. Mm. And those were big enough. So he's just being the biggest dick he can.
Yeah, and the only video CEO of me is going, developers, 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 developers.
I help co-create Microsoft, and that's all I'm known for. And I think he owns a sports team.
I own
team,
a basketball
he?
Team. Yeah. I'm still he not does. Cool. Come on.
Love that guy. Well, before we move on from the phone, Steve, we should just say that the rice doesn't work. Pulling the moisture.
I've had some friends that have had good success with that, but it's only been like the phone got a little bit wet. Like, I don't think you can fully submerge it. You know, I actually, it's funny, my buddy got really drunk at a wedding a couple months ago.
One of your friends?
One of my friends, and he jumped off the high dive, knocked himself unconscious because it was at a country club, and like five people had to go in and save his life. But what you forget about, like, when you see like a great moment like that in the modern world, I haven't seen that yet in the modern world. And she's like, oh, thank God we saved him. Then I guess all five of, I wasn't there, but I guess like all five of them started going, son of a bitch, I ruined my phone for you, you asshole. And they're all just pissed that their phones don't work.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Well, I have had a fully submerged iPhone, which is, you know, something me and Steve were chatting about, commiserating over broken phones. And as long as you turn the power off or disconnect the battery, you should be okay.
Meaning but, it was... unpowered when it went in, and you don't power it back up.
No, it was powered. I was staring at the screen. Like just as I'd been using it. Underwater.
Because that was my experience. I'm looking at it going,
pissing on my iPhone, right. Watching emails come through going, yeah. God damn.
Right? Pretty much. Saw some Jira stories
I'm going to finish this. I'm going to let you finish, right. And then I'm going to get my iPhone.
Yeah. So disconnect the battery right away, and then you should be good. And I think the rice just gets in the way. So that's my tech tip for the day.
No, well, my family has had two before mine where my daughter lost phones in water, and the rice did absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. But in the first case, it was underwater long enough that, I mean, it died underwater.
Eesh.
She didn't get it out of the water fast enough to do that. The second case, she might have been able to save it had she... tried to turn it off and, you know, we'll wait for it to dry out and all. And to be fair, my phone did start to work again. Mm-hmm. It didn't work right away. So it went in, it came out. I did not turn it off, but I like did everything I could to drain it, and it was upright so that everything would drain out of it as best it could. And it sat for, and then it at some point went off, and it sat for 2-3 days. And I kind of went, well, on a lark, I'll plug it in and let's see what happens. Plugged it in, and like the little charging indicator came up, and I went, oh, maybe it's gonna come back to life. And it did come back to life. But it was kind of like, I don't know if you guys ever read Pet Sematary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stephen King book where, you know, you bury your dog in the pet cemetery and then it comes back to life, but it's not the same.
I only saw Pet Sematary 2, the movie. So that's all.
I read the book. I didn't see the movies. Stop. But at any rate, the phone was not the same. Mm-hmm. I would watch the battery just drain.
Oof.
You'd see the bar like drop.
Whoa.
It's like, okay, that's bad. So I had to charge it like 3 times a day to keep it running. And when I got the new phone, I was like, right, so not even thinking. So I'll just pull the SIM and pop it in the new phone and I'll be good. No. We don't want any rust in your phone. If there's anything on this old SIM card, no, you're brand spanking new. Don't mess with that old device at all. So I'm kind of liking the big phone.
Yeah.
I'm kind of feels right. Works well. I'm pretty happy with it. But don't drop your phones in the toilet, kids. It's a bad idea. Very bad idea. So I'm sorry, I've been a bit distracted. I've had an actual work boss kind of thing.
Oh, jeez. So, as we're moving.
Carry on, gentlemen.
I was talking to a friend recently, and we were saying, you know, the movie Idiocracy? I think it's real popular with tech people, I think. You know, predicting how stupid America will become. But I've always felt that the prediction that's actually become most accurate, because you could almost argue our political candidates have almost become what the president is like, you know, where we have a reality TV star who's totally, you know, beyond the pale running for president now. But anyways, I think the most accurate prediction is those lounge seat toilets where you watch TV is actually how we go to the bathroom now with smartphones, where you have to be entertained. I forget who it was when we were sitting in the old location. I overheard some guy go, oh man, I need to take a shit, but my phone's not charged.
we got him.
That was not the undoing of spit take.
Man
that
down. Was, apparently, Gavin doesn't want to talk about the mess he just made all over the room.
Yikes. Luckily, there wasn't a phone there. That would be hilarious.
No, after this conversation, that would not be hilarious.
Full cup of coffee gets dropped on a phone. It's coffee.
It is hilarious that this gentleman couldn't do it, but I, you know, that's my natural thing. And I have, since my little mishap a week or so ago, I literally have to retrain myself. Every time I go to the bathroom, I forcefully say, don't take your phone out.
Don't take
your phone out of your pocket. Just leave it alone.
You don't
Why do you need to do this?
Yeah, exactly.
But I am very much a creature of habit. I do.
Sure.
You know, it's like almost a drug, right? You pull for it. So so that's a reality. But I read an article recently. Some study was done, and this was a study in the UK, that smartphones are going to die out in the next 5 years.
And what will they be replaced with?
Well, that's the question.
Brain implants.
No. Well, do we think smartphones will die? What would replace them?
It would have to be like a watch, right, that could do everything that a smartphone could do, or glasses, or
something you could wear, right?
So a combination of a device, a wearable device that is not a phone, and virtual reality, and, you know, artificial intelligence, Siri on steroids, you know, all of this stuff. So you have a device, but it's not It's not a phone. So
I was talking to somebody
at
a bar last night about this very thing. And what I was saying, I was like, to me, one of the things that would be the most, that's what everyone predicts. Mm-hmm. But I'm always like, you know, I don't know if that's really going to happen. You know, the computers and smart, because the one thing, in my opinion, that you have to take in mind is if all that goes away, like the modern office format would be totally useless. You'd almost have to go back to the days, because you would think if you go that small, it would have to be voice actuated, right?
Right.
So then you would have to go back to the days where everybody has their own office, because otherwise you would have just all these people talking. It would be like a cacophony of everyone writing their own emails aloud, and it wouldn't work in the modern office, right?
But wait a second. I didn't say anything about removal of your laptop, your computing mm-hmm. device. This is the mobile device.
Yeah.
So, and I see the point. I see the point where, you know, even in, you know, a room where you got a bunch of tech guys, you're very self-conscious, right? You're not going to say, and it happened earlier today, my phone went off because, let's see if I can make it happen. Hey, Siri. Nope, can't make it happen. Hey, Siri.
Good pod.
So, a minute ago.
We were in a meeting this morning.
We were in a meeting, and my phone reacted to something that was said in the room that was not Hey Siri, but it thought it was Hey Siri, right? So, even in a room of technical people where everybody's together and it wouldn't be that weird for somebody to talk to their device.
Yeah.
It's still weird, and everybody goes, nah, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you're right from that perspective. But I don't think we're talking about that. I think we're talking about...
But even if it's just the phone, like, how would you privately... I guess you would have to find your own space. Like, if there was no phone, nothing that was big enough for you to interact with your fingers, how would you reply to somebody and have, like a modicum of privacy?
Well, so...
But at the same time, you don't think about the guy who's walking down the street with his Bluetooth headset talking to himself.
Yeah, yeah.
I think about that guy. I think he's crazy. Well, I hate it.
But you see him and you think, what a dick, right?
Yeah.
Douchebag walking down there doing his thing. Right. But it's not odd. I remember the first time I saw somebody doing that, I was like, this guy's really crazy.
Yeah.
He's kind of, oh, no, he's on the phone. Okay, he's fine.
Well, so 7 or 8 years ago, there was this Indian developer who had a necklace that was a computer and a projector. And it would project either onto the wall, onto your wrist, or your hand, and it would display the videos, the keyboard, the interactive things that you needed, and it hung around your chest. It was a little bigger, kind of looked like a Eazy-E clock at the time. It was like, you know, I'm not wearing this. This is ridiculous, right? But obviously, 8 years later, technology has shrunk, right? Yeah, even the projectors, right? So that's kind of where you would be. You would
basically... Well, like it would project a keyboard almost that you could interact with if you wanted privacy?
So it would project, it would project an image onto your hand, which you would type on.
I see.
Or
onto
your
That'd
arm.
Be interesting.
Or
yeah.
even a wall. You could walk up to any wall and project and just...
But it just look like everyone's pissing on the wall.
What's that guy doing in the corner? I think he's just on his phone.
I like that better than like the speaking into a watch or something, because I definitely think you people want the screen real estate, because Steve, you just got your mobile phone and you upgraded to the bigger size, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but if he's projecting now onto a bigger surface so he could read because he has horrible eyesight and he's an old man, then, you know,
But imagine the,
I'm
like,
an old man.
Imagine the L. Like, there's like, there's 40 people in your train car and you're like projecting your email on some person to the left of you because like there's no
on the back of your person. On the back of your person. On the person next to you. You're just like on a bus.
If I put a black shroud.
Right. Yeah.
He's got a black shirt. That's really going to be better for what I'm doing here. This is great. Yes.
Yeah. But so I think it's going to be, the current wearables aren't too impressive to me, but I really think that eventually that they're going to make them good enough where it's going to take off. And I could see like some type of fashionable bracelet that has, you know, like some kind of designer look on it, like half the time, like let's say for a girl or something. And then the rest of the time it's a touchscreen and you're looking at it like it's the surface of a mobile phone and it's got a keyboard, something like that, you know?
Well,
and
there's a cartoon right now, which I always find interesting because you see like Jetsons and things that we grew up with project the future, right? There's a cartoon called Miles from Tomorrowland, and his sister wears a Bracelex. Mm-hmm. And the Bracelex is essentially the keyboard and video and her computer on her wrist, right?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's four times the size of a watch, according to the cartoon, but it does everything she ever needs, and it just pops up like a holographic video whenever she needs to right in front of her. I'm like, that's what Emma will have. Like, yeah. Absolutely, that's what she'll have in, like, 10 years when she's in school.
With My Little Pony.
Yeah, it'll be a My Little Pony bracelet with completely interactive computer, video, YouTube, everything she needs, the history of the internet and Earth right on her wrist.
So I'm on board with that, and then I really do think the Google Glass is eventually going to be good enough, or products like that are right on your eye. So
right. Well, oh, yeah. And that's why I thought, like, Sean, I agree there's not going to be people just talking to getting Siri's attention, which didn't even work.
Yeah.
There's not going to be so much of that. There's going to be some way of getting its attention without a voice command.
Yeah, sure.
So
yeah.
Touch, you know, if you have a Bluetooth headset, what do? They touch the headset.
Uh huh.
If you have the Google Glass, you know, there's like touch the rim of the glass or something like that. So there's just some way of saying, look, I want your attention. And now you're talking to it. You may be talking to it, but it's now tuned saying, oh, I'm going to listen. I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to do what this person's asking me to do right now.
Uh huh.
The other question is, you know, how much will we head towards a little more neural?
Yeah,
literally
sure.
Neural.
No. Well, God. That's almost like what Stephen Hawkins has. Like he, the movement of his eyes is what controls everything. What he said. Now, I think like in real time, it takes him like a half hour to do a word.
Yeah.
You know, because of his disease. But you know, who knows? Maybe something like that could. I think they have those in fighter jet.
Really.
The modern,
that was Firefox, the movie with Clint Eastwood.
No, like the modern, they have those in modern.
I was in Russian.
Yeah,
you're right.
Russian.
There's the modern jet fighter helmets like have that with their
they
targeting
do.
Systems. Oh,
yeah,
they look at your eye movements and they target wherever your eye is looking. You know,
But even beyond that, like just the thing that literally there's sensors on top of your brain. Like, you know, they have people without limbs controlling robotic arms, and they had something recently where a guy was driving a car with his brain. And like, imagine building that into like a beautiful consumer electronic device. Like, what if your Google Glass just like on the bands that were the, like your temporal lobes, like just sitting there like reading your brain scans or something like that. Not
so,
even eye movement.
So this study said 5 years. This device,
only 5 years for smartphones.
I don't buy that.
Fading out. I think that's way too aggressive. I think
maybe
there's too much of a market behind this machine. The business of it isn't going to let it die in 5 years.
I don't know. Like GPS, like TomTom things. It seems like they only had what? Maybe 10 years, like from start to finish, that existed as a product, and they were all over the place.
It was like a single-use device, though.
Right? It was, but, you know, something better came along. I don't know.
Yeah.
I could see that, you know.
But
the iPod, like, disappeared almost immediately once smartphones got good enough to do it. And
Yeah.
That's
all Apple sort of consuming itself in that way.
Sure, sure.
So
yeah.
If we're talking about these big companies, if somebody comes along, a small group comes along and hits the home run, and Microsoft buys them, Apple buys it, somebody buys them and says, this is now the way it's going to be, you know, what's happening? Anything that's got any potential, Oculus was purchased by Facebook.
Sure.
Right? So anything that's going to head in that direction isn't going to be TomTom. It's going to be one of these companies that has the cash to go out and consume whatever that technology is, and then, fine, now I'll build it into the current device I've got and start evolving towards something better.
Yeah,
but it's going to take time. It's not going to be 5 years.
5 years seems aggressive, but I don't know.
10 years? Yeah.
I don't know.
10 years sounds about right, but it still seems like, and when that happens, they'll all be doing the same thing. So whatever it is that replaces it, they'll have the display device that's displaying it. They'll have the cloud device that lives in your pocket, or you know, whatever it is that you're walking around with. There'll be a handful that do it, right?
I just want to go full Ghost in the Shell. Just
Ghost
make me
in
an
the
Android.
Shell. Upload your consciousness.
Yeah, don't even care. I want that.
I don't even know what that is.
It's an anime movie where you have like what they call wetware, where you're part machine, part conscious, you know. And
excellent. I'll have to look that up.
You're kind of always in the internet, in your brain.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet. It's I think it just
it's like half Matrix. Matrix meets what's the blue people movie? Avatar.
I'm reading an article, and not to prolong this conversation too much, but I'm reading it. There's a great article in the New Yorker from 2 weeks ago.
Oh yeah,
about the singularity of when could AI get so advanced that it overtakes humans, you know. And there's actually like a surprisingly high amount of scientists that think that could actually happen. You know, Elon Musk is one of those guys who thinks it could.
He and Hawking and various mm-hmm. people are like talking about be careful.
Yeah, and Musk has actually financed certain efforts to try and study and control it, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of people think it's like Terminator, tinfoil hat fantasies. I think Bill Joy, who basically created the internet, thinks it could happen. You know, he created Java, he created Sun Microsystems. Anyways, one of the things that was really interesting is they were interviewing this one scientist who does think it can happen, okay? And he doesn't know if it'll be good or bad, but he thinks it could happen. And one of the things that he was talking about that I had never ever considered is he's like, one of the things that's interesting is, you know, we always have this sort of paradox that space is supposed to be infinite, but we never see intelligent life. Now, we used to think that was because there's no life out there, but we've actually started to find like bacteria and very unevolved life in comets and different uh-huh. planets. And he goes, I actually find that scarier, that life could be abundant, but intelligent life isn't abundant. He goes, we used to think that we never found intelligent life because it was so hard for life to evolve. He goes, what if it's easy for life to evolve, but the extinction event happens when you become very intelligent? And that basically the course of evolution throughout the universe is you invent something so smart it kills you.
Uh-huh.
It was an interesting theory. I don't really necessarily buy into it, but it's something. And he goes, to me, the scariest, he goes, if they find life on Mars, that would scare me because it might mean how did they go extinct? You know, yeah. And he goes, if they found vertebrae life on Mars, I would assume even worse things, that maybe it's your intelligence that actually kills you.
I think yeah. that's fascinating.
It's a fascinating theory, you know.
It's either that or that we are the bacteria of the universe and yeah. that people yeah. are just avoiding us.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything is avoiding us.
Yeah.
Except our planet.
It's trying, though.
It's trying to shrug us off yeah. sooner or later. No, that is fascinating.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that is a decent segue to take us to the week in Trump.
Oh, geez. What? Speaking of the singularity.
Everyone set the doomsday clock to 11:45.
Just felt like enough.
He is, like, if he won, he is the kind of leader. He'd be, like, the last leader in yeah. the history book, like, before the collapse or the takeover or the...
Well, don't they say, know? Like, the area...
Elon Musk would change his tune and say, yeah. you know what? We need intelligent machines to yeah. obliterate all of us. This is ridiculous.
Robot
don't they say the four horsemen of the apocalypse on Earth is happening right in Syria right now? So he would kind of be that antichrist that yeah. ends the world, right? So, yeah, let's ride that.
I like that.
Yes. So, ride that.
I'm not sure we want to go too deep into this, but the two big things, I mean, ban an entire
religion
world from our lives, and was it today?
Shutting down parts of the internet to protect us from the spread of terrorism.
What parts? Like just like closing, encrypted parts, or did he even say just parts?
Closing that internet.
That internet.
Internet.
The bad internet.
Oh my God.
It's the bad internet.
It's the bad internet.
You yeah. can find the bad internet tubes and shut them down.
I have the quote right here. We're losing a lot of people because of the internet, Trump said. We have to see Bill Gates and a lot of different people that really understand what's happening. We have to talk to them about it. Maybe in certain areas, closing that internet up in some way. Somebody will say, oh, freedom of speech. These are foolish people. By the way, I love that, like, the guy who struggled to get the internet for, like, a decade, Bill Gates in the mid-90s, like, is, like, his internet go-to guy.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's amazing. So he thinks we would be more safe from terrorists if everybody was packing a gun, but we had no internet.
That's right. We would just
think, seems logical. Mm-hmm.
Just good
yep.
science.
Yep.
That internet.
But to be, keep going.
I liked your theory that perhaps... perhaps he's just that crazy to give everybody else in.
Well, so I think the Republican establishment has been, up until last week, extraordinarily frustrated with Trump because they're like, holy shit, he might win. He's polling high. He's off message for our party. You know, we actually believe these things, but we don't actually normally say it. You know, maybe. Yes. I mean, that's debatable. It depends, you know, where you land on the political spectrum. But but now I think he's become so crazy, he doesn't have a chance of winning. He could maybe win the Iowa. He could maybe win small states. There's no way he's going to win the Illinois, California primaries, the tech. No. You know, he's not going to win them. Anything with a big city. And then once you add the electoral votes that they have, even just for their nomination, or I should say the delegate votes they have, like, he can't win. It's impossible for him to win it now that he's gone full-blown crazy. But now I think they might like him because, like, all these people came out with press conferences who, like, ideologues, you know, who normally are never considered compromisers, who are like, listen, we don't think we should ban religions. And everyone's like, look at this totally sane guy. So he's made insane people look sane.
Right, right.
So now I think they're like, oh, thank, you know, Trump's actually great. He makes, you know, crazy people look level-headed.
Yes. Well, again, not to get too political, but I think Dick Cheney did denounce him.
Dick Cheney came out and was like, that's against everything we stand for. Yeah. When's the last time you were like, Dick Cheney, thank you for being the voice of reason?
Yes. Yeah.
And then, wait, that might be the first, like, positive for Trump that I've had.
Yeah.
That Dick Cheney hates him and won't. Okay, well, maybe he's not so bad. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
To be totally fair and balanced about this internet thing, and just because I have certain views on freedom of speech and, like, online and all that stuff, I'm going to read some of Hillary Clinton's quotes also. We're going to have more support from our friends in the technology world to deny online space. Just as we have to destroy ISIS's would-be caliphate, we have to deny them online space. And this is complicated. You're going to hear all the usual complaints, you know, freedom of speech, et cetera, et cetera.
So, when did she say this? Hang on. Right. When did she say this? When did Trump say his?
I don't have a date.
Because it sounds like recent. Trump agrees with the Hillary model of shutting down certain spaces where terrorism is bred, as opposed to and getting smart people to do it, right?
Well, so they're both admitting. What she's talking about specifically is encryption of communication.
Well,
and
it's
maybe
also interesting
because
they always it shows so much the way these politicians look at the internet that all they talk about is, like, I understand there's a First Amendment issue, and none of them dignify, like, the question, does it even work?
Right.
Is it effective? And the answer is no. I mean, any technology person will say it won't work. It will not work, you know, because even if your encryption was that good, even if your back doors to encryption were that good, which they probably aren't, but if they were, they would just go off the grid then.
Yeah.
You know, they would go around.
They'd just get a PS4 and then communicate that way.
There are going to be ways to have that conversation and to recruit and to do whatever it is they're doing. They're going to find ways around
anything. It just, like, you can't, like,
the editing of a Google Doc to communicate your ideas, which was one of those things too that was like 5 years ago. How are terrorists communicating? Learn a Google Doc, which seems to be completely protected. they're all typing to each other. It's like, oh, okay.
they'd write a draft email in Gmail and then not send
that was
it.
That was the other one, right? Yeah, they write a draft email, don't send it, and it just sits there, but they're all in the same account so they can see it. Yeah, sure.
There's this comic called Doug Stanhope who I always thought this was the funniest point. He's like, people think they can stop bombs or weapons. He's like, you can't actually stop these terrorists if they're, you know, you could just try and do it. He's like they can't stop weapons from getting into prison, and they search everybody's asshole. I mean if a person's determined enough, like, they're gonna do it, and you just have to react to it once it happens. You know, like, but it's like, it's actually the best argument I've ever heard, you know.
As Jeff Goldblum says, life finds a way, you know.
Oh man, oh god.
Thank you for that imagery.
That's good.
What's next?
Dion's segues are amazing.
You don't have a great segue from searching someone's asshole to...
It's like, moving on.
Well, actually, that is the perfect lead-in to our sponsor read, but we don't have one. Okay. So.
Brought to you by Dion. Do you have some acronyms you can throw out about...
I think we were supposed to talk about Immaculate Conception Day because half of our team is off
inappropriate jokes there.
A lot of inappropriate jokes there. Yeah, that's how our day started, right?
Can't be Immaculate Conception Day 2. How can that be? But it is.
I got another good one.
Yeah, they got two.
Well, day 2, so nice. Let's do it twice. That was our quote today, I think, in our meeting, which is like, what? So,
well, people always joke, because most people think the Immaculate Conception is like when the angel Gabriel showed up to Mary and said, you're going to have a kid. It's when Jesus was put in the womb. That's what most people think. So everyone always jokes like, oh, well, you know, Jesus was only in the womb for 3 weeks.
Right.
But the Immaculate Conception, just for any podcast listeners that aren't Catholic, because I went to a grade school called Immaculate Conception.
Okay. This is news to me.
So I'm familiar with this. The Immaculate Conception is actually how Mary was put into the womb, which was through heterosexual sex. But she didn't have original sin. So the Catholics, this is actually interesting, not to make this too. I don't know how deep down the rabbit hole you want me to go here.
This is when
Mary was conceived as a baby. Huh. So this is actually not in the Bible at all. This was added by the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church has this idea called original sin.
Can I ask who wrote this?
This was, I think, the Nicene Creed, which was on the Nicene. The Nicene was this meeting that all the bishops got together in the Middle Ages, and they came up with the new rules for the church.
Okay, so they were making shit up.
Exactly. And they claim...
Did I get too religious there?
We already covered politics.
Well, yeah.
Let's keep going.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking to a Catholic who thinks the whole thing top to bottom is made up. So, I mean... So you're not going to offend me.
I'm walking out.
Yeah.
Go on.
To give you some background, like, my wife is always like, I want to read, you know, every... bit of the Bible to the kids, just because, like, I always thought it was impressive how you know all these references about the Bible, Sean, you know, because I went to 20 years of Catholic school, and I was just like, okay, good luck. Like, you don't know how crazy the Bible is. She's like, no, I've read it. I'm like, no, you've read it like the way a Protestant has read it, where you've gone Adam and Eve, Noah's Ark, Jesus. You have no idea what happens in between.
You skip Leviticus.
Like brothers killing each other. Like, the third human killed the second human. I mean, like, and, like, you know, coat of Jacob's brothers, who was a Joseph and the coat of many colors. Like, his brothers were jealous of his coat and threw him to lions. You know, like, it just,
around too,
it's insane. It's... Like, yeah, that was the third story she read, and she's like, she was crying. She was so disturbed. I'm like, I told you, but... Anyways,
the second season gets pretty good. Anyway,
the Catholics have this idea called original sin, which is that because of the sin of Adam and Eve, every person born has the taint of sin on them, and it's not removed till you're baptized. The Catholics have this crazy idea that if you die before your baptism, you can't go straight to heaven,
right?
Because you still have the original sin with you. But one of the bishops. And it is kind of funny how they're made. One of the bishops in the Nicene Convention was like, wait a minute, but, you know, how could now Jesus technically opened up the gates where it's debated whether we still have original sin after Jesus. Some Catholics feel that he cleansed everyone.
Yes. Right.
But Mary was conceived before Jesus. So they're like, well, how could Jesus go inside her womb if she has original sin and Jesus hasn't? So they said, Immaculate Conception. She was the only human conceived without original sin.
Because in a very Back to the Future-like state, because she was about to have the Son of God.
Yeah, who was going to cleanse.
Born immaculately.
Yeah.
So that at no point in her entire existence was she ever of original sin.
Yeah, she was the only human, and Catholics do believe she was the only human to have never sinned.
Well, this helps. Now I understand. I mean, obviously, Mary has a special place in the whole biblical story.
Yeah.
Right? So, but it makes more sense why people worship certain things that are, you know, this is Mary on the wall.
Was
it a few years ago in Chicago where there was some underpass that Mary was
At,
you know, everywhere it looks like Mary is, that there's like altars and all sorts of things that happen. That helps.
And it's always very big, like in it, like Italians, like, always have, like, because there's also, is it the Assumption? I forget what it is. There's another holiday where Mary is also the only person who didn't die. Like, her body went straight up to heaven. I don't know. I don't know if the only...
No. There
is that the ascension?
There are accounts biblically, and I happen to see somebody who probably has a lot to say about all this stuff poking her head up. I happen to know that there are, like, three different accounts. So Jesus, obviously, is one person who ascended
after death, right? Yeah. That's Pentecost,
there like,
right?
There are like two others. There's Elijah two others? Or Elijah.
Oh, really?
There's like three, but Mary wasn't.
Cool list to be on.
Mary wasn't one of them. And maybe there's no.
What I thought of Mary went straight up. I thought
assumption, the assumption of Mary is her body went to heaven. There's no.
So there's no account of it. It's much like the makeup, you know, let's make some stuff up here. This is one of the things that I think people in retrospect have made up because it wasn't accounted for in the Bible.
Yeah.
And you know, fine, maybe it did happen because it wasn't written anywhere that Mary did this.
Sure.
But at the same time, maybe Song of Solomon was really all about, you know, sex and having a good time. And that, maybe Adam and Eve were the two original people of the, you know.
Yeah.
It's all whatever.
They were just young kids in love.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
What was
how could that be? Because Eve wasn't Eve created from Adam, so how could they be in love? I mean, that's kind of gross, isn't it?
Narcissistic, yeah, weird, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, Luke and Leia kind of stuff going on there. That's just awful.
Jamie and Cersei Lannister is just
yes,
awful.
Exactly.
I wonder if they'll. I always wonder if they'll have jokes about that in the new Star Wars. Not to change subjects
the Luke
too quickly.
And Leia thing
just the whole thing is sort of funny, you know, that like, well, and hot, like, you know, like I that would be a great like wedding scene, you know, where like, you know,
like Han and Leia are getting married.
Yeah, yes. you know, so the father of the bride is dead, you know, and
that's probably creating,
you know, friction. Yeah. I'm sure, like, you know, Han is saying things like, oh, you know, thank God I'm better than Luke, or, you know, he would have had sex with his sister.
And none I think of us Disney is definitely going to go down that road.
but there's an opportunity. Obviously, they're not going to go that full bore on it. But there's an opportunity for some wittisms there, you know.
For a second, I thought you were going to say not the new Star Wars, but the New Testament, if they were going to make that joke.
We could have punched this up.
Yeah, that's right. we have new creed here, new Nicenean.
Well, it's a new what do they call it? It's a new translation, right?
Yeah.
A biblical translation. Sure, why not?
The Bible presented by Sean Flannery.
And J.J. Abrams.
J.J. Abrams.
I like this idea. We're only a short week away or so.
I know, yeah.
From the new Star Wars coming out, and everybody can go, eh, it's all right. Maybe it'll be great. I'm a little ticked off. So I don't want any spoilers, but they keep showing, what is it, BB-8 or
whatever
it is?
The new R2.
The new R2.
Yeah.
So is it that R2, like, that's what I worry about.
That they'll be replaced?
I don't care what happened to Han Solo. What happened to the droids?
Did they finally get wiped?
Yeah. Did they get ditched in this process? My guess is...
Fell into a toilet.
They'll make an appearance at the beginning and be destroyed.
I don't think they'll be destroyed. They're too much of a landmark character.
Well, what are they going to do? Because they keep showing this other droid.
Well, they got to sell the toys for the other droid. So he's got to be pretty prominent.
So cynical guy, get it. Yeah, because if they created more R2-D2 stuff, nobody'd buy it.
No, they'd buy it. But like, I saw this Target commercial and the kids are like playing around, or like the little droid is helping guide them or something like that. I don't know. That's where my mind went. I guess I am cynical.
there was a toy that I bought my cousin a couple years ago, a Sphero ball, and you controlled it with your iPhone, and it was just the ball that rolled around the floor, and I got it for her as like this weird, crazy gift. She was a kid at the time, and the dog would chase it all around. I'm like, this is hilarious. So she had this little ball that just rolled anywhere she wanted it to. She controlled it with her phone, and I believe that's where they got the idea for BB-8, because the people who made that ball now sell that toy.
Nice.
But I mean, this thing came out like 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, even this Sphero ball that just rolls and you control it like a, you know, like an RC car. Just, but I thought it was really cool. But as soon as I see that, every time I see that thing, and I'm like, and then yeah, it's basically this Sphero doll that, that they created. And I think it was just marketing. Because there's no reason. I mean, of course, new droid, just add another toy to the mix.
Well, but then if you don't enter, I feel it's almost better because, like, if you don't introduce a new droid, otherwise you have to come up with a plot defense for why this new main hero owns. Like, I always thought it was weird in the prequels. R2-D2's owned by every major character.
Exactly.
And he's somehow just sold from, like, major character to major character.
And if that's what J.J. Abrams is doing, is basically going, no, this is bullshit.
Yeah, I think that's probably. I think he's so into realism that he's like, all right, come on, I can't. Once again, R2-D2 gets blown out of an escape pod and the most major character owns him.
Yeah. And what happens to, you know, Darth Vader? He's like seeing these things going, wait a minute.
Did I create you?
You are my fucking droid. Get over here. You know? Yeah.
Well, I think if you really watch the movies, to me, it's clear Lucas made Star Wars not knowing if he'd ever make any sequels.
Yeah. Oh,
like there. And to me, it's also clear, in my opinion, that Darth Vader was not Luke's father in the first one.
Think it's a retcon?
That was something they introduced on the second one.
Fabricated in the second
one. Yeah. And then they rewrote everything based off that, you know.
Well, you know, we're almost through. So this weekend, we're going to see the last of the original movies. We've been working through it as a family. I may have mentioned this on the podcast before, but... seeing 1, 2, and 3, I didn't see 1. Seeing 2 and 3 again made me think, you know what? It wasn't that bad of a plot line to go and do this. It was just the execution was miserable.
Yeah.
Miserable. I don't think the whole, you know, notion of Luke being his father and tying this whole thing back and how does Vader become Vader in the first 3 movies, I think was a great idea.
Sure.
It was just so bad.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Just the acting was bad, you know, and 2 and 3 were better than 1 from that perspective, but you know, we were talking about this earlier, the whole guy doing Anakin Skywalker was so pathetic. And
oh, Hayden Christensen.
Horrible as Anakin.
He had to hang his hat on
What's weird is he's good in other movies. Supposedly Lucas is notoriously hard to act for, and he doesn't, like, have a good... Supposedly, I don't know. You know,
but did he direct all of those three films?
No, but I think he produced them and wrote them, didn't he? So, like... you know, like he didn't write Empire, and I don't think he actually wrote Return. I think he might have done the spec script for it, but I
correct.
Don't.
Correct. Huh. Yeah.
You know,
I really loved Hayden Christensen in Shattered Glass.
I was about to say he's great in that movie.
Yeah.
About that lying reporter from, was it The New Republic or?
Yeah, I think so. I'm gonna go with that.
Yeah, he's great in that movie.
The character itself is drawn poorly. I will give you that. You know, and he had to deal with what he had to deal with, but. That's the part of, you know, Deanna and I were talking about it. 3 was probably the best of those 3.
Sure.
And it was still miserable every time he was on screen.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, he's waffling with no degree. It's like, really good or I'm really bad.
Yeah, it was like basically schizophrenic, but not of a believable schizophrenic. Yeah. Like, he didn't play it like a schizophrenic person.
Just awful. Absolutely awful. So, I continue to be eager for this, but I continue to also be skeptical that it's going to be great. I hope it's great.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be great, but I think it'll be entertaining. We'll see.
I think it'll be entertaining, and I think J.J. Abrams understands that everybody expects this to be everything for everybody, right? And it won't be. So there are going to be people that love it no matter what because it is the next thing in this whole universe, and it's going to be sucky for many people because they have built up an expectation for so long. Just like Episode 1. The distance between, the time between Return of the Jedi and Episode 1 and then when it came out, the reason why besides Jar Jar, there was just this whole, it's not everything I ever wanted Episode 1 to be. Why did he cater to kids when, you know, it was like, yeah, and I mean, you had 10 years to think about what this movie should be. Of course, it's not going to be everything you thought it was, but, so I think that's going to happen again, but I'm optimistic, and I think it'll be great.
You know, I think movies changed more in that 10 years since they have from, what was it, episode 3 was the last one released, to today. Like, Lucas has kind of talked about that in the past. Like, the one thing he said that he thinks ruined episode 1 was The Matrix.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was like, people's expectations for... He's like, you know, Star Wars, basically, we had space duels that mirrored, like, Robin Hood. Like, they were just basic sword fights.
Right.
And he's like, people's expectations for an action scene changed so much after The Matrix and, like, what a superhero can do. And he felt he didn't adapt to that well.
Hmm.
Or J.J. Abrams probably will. But, like, and that is an interesting, you know, like, because I don't feel it's changed all that much from episode 3 to now. But I feel from, I think, what, Return of the Jedi was 1983. And then I think, New Hope, or not New Hope, A Phantom Menace was 2000 or 1999 or
yeah,
something like that.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you're talking about the introduction of CGI, yeah. You know, that's a huge
jump,
you know, yeah.
Huge jump.
It is. Well.
Enough Star Wars.
Enough Star Wars?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I will say the only other movie trailer I want to talk about was the Superman Batman one. I thought was pretty good. Did you guys see that one?
I saw it, but I have no confidence that a movie by that director will be good, but we'll see. Yeah, Zack Snyder, I don't like his movies.
Huh.
I liked 300. I did like that. Oh, actually, and I liked what's the Sin City one?
Listen back on everything you said.
Yeah, I am.
So, well, the only reason why
I love the comic book. I didn't like Watchmen.
Yeah, I thought Watchmen was pretty terrible.
Yeah,
I liked Watchmen.
Yeah,
I
thought it was visually interesting, but too long. And
yeah, and the book, the comic book was like classic.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
It was really hard to measure up.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
We'll see. It might be interesting. It could be interesting.
I hope it's interesting. You know, I was watching the trailer going, this looks pretty cool. And then I get sort of the voice from beyond going, nope, can't do it, my wife. Nope.
Nope.
Batman, Superman fight. Nope, can't do it.
I'm out.
Ben. Come on.
Take one of the kids, you know.
Oh, jeez.
I do feel it revealed a lot. Like, I would have liked being surprised by some of those characters. I don't know. I didn't feel
we knew the three were going to be in it, though. I mean, you knew Wonder Woman was going to be in it, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you understand the Doomsday thing?
Yeah, I didn't know he was going to be in it, you know. I didn't know Lex Luthor was going to be in it, you know.
Yeah, well, Dawn of Justice is alluding to the fact that even though you've seen just three, that this is the beginning of the whole,
the Justice League.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I would have liked... I've decided, like, for Star Wars, I haven't seen any of the... I saw the first trailer, and of all these commercial spots that are coming, I'm like, I'm not going to watch them. You know,
yeah.
I want to be surprised. And
that's kind of
maybe if I decide I'm going to watch Batman vs. Superman, I'm going to start doing that. I'm just going to, you know, I'm not going to watch it.
Yep.
I feel they reveal so much now. Maybe they always did.
Well, the other interesting thing is we're talking movies a lot this podcast, but they're going to show the new Star Trek trailer during the Star Wars previews.
Oh, yeah?
Which I think
is really? That's funny.
So J.J.'s basically, you know, J.J. owns our entire, you know, sci-fi universe at this point, right? So,
world.
But I mean,
don't include me.
Don't include me with your
Star Trek. Not your universe?
No Star Trek? No, absolutely not.
Are you kidding me?
Not
at all?
Not in any way.
I will say this.
Really?
If you're not really big into Star Trek, they do as many misses as they do hits. So, like, it's easy to...
Oh, yeah.
You know...
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Wrath of Khan, obviously, but, you know.
I actually like the TV show. I think the TV show is
I thought The Next Generation was groundbreaking.
The original?
I like the original TV show.
The original.
Especially for its era. I think it's pretty cool.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I like the topics in it.
Gavin's the skeptic.
Yes, yeah. Right. I get it. In a time when, you know, Batman and Robin were kapowing and, you know, in their leather jumpsuits on TV, you know, with Adam West, and to have Adam, you know, Captain Kirk doing his thing and discussing real. Yeah, I thought that was much better. But I think the huge jump was The Next Generation. If you haven't seen any of those shows,
I've
think
seen
that
a few.
Was
guy with the big ears.
Yeah.
This guy with big ears.
Just defending Dion's.
The guy with the big ears.
Fandom here.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen
I thought that was Spock.
I'm yeah, just right.
Spock. Yeah.
Oh, no. That guy.
Yeah. They all have big ears.
They all have big ears.
Yeah. I don't know. Is he Romulan? Is that what those guys are called?
No.
I don't know. Have you guys ever seen?
Oh, it's Deep Space Nine. I'm sorry.
The documentary Trekkies.
No.
It's great. So it's about over the top.
Yeah.
Start, but some of these guys are ridiculous. Like, and my favorite is there's this dentist who has redone his whole office to look like the bridge from the original ship. So you get your cavity filled, and you're like in the captain's
chair.
But it seems awesome. So, and he's dressed as like one of the cadets, God. And like his all the dental hygienists are also dressed in like those short skirt, you know, like, and it like, to me, it would seem so weird that I wouldn't trust him to work on my teeth, you know, but,
says the guy who goes to doctor.
I would probably do it, but so I would do it, but I don't think the average person would do it. Yeah. That documentary is great. If you ever get a chance to watch it, Trekkies, it's a really great documentary.
I wish I loved anything in life that much. I really do. Like, I wish I had that zeal, but
they do talk about that, just like how much joy it brings them going to conventions and everything. Yeah.
The passion of people that, I mean, you know, as close as I get is on the Star Wars side, but I would never go to these conventions. And, you know, yes, I am going to opening night. No, I'm not going to the first showing, but yes, opening night of the Star Wars movie. We got tickets. I want to go. I'm going to see it as early as possible. And I'm what you're talking about, Sean, not consuming all of the stuff that's out there about Star Wars.
Yeah.
I'm consciously going, no, don't care. Don't want to see that.
Yeah.
Don't want to watch that. No, going to stay away from these things. But I'm still not as passionate as, you know, these people, like creating your entire office as this.
Yeah, spend like $127,000.
It's got to be a lot of money to do that, you know? I mean, it's crazy.
As a kid, I wanted desperately, you talked about this recently, I wanted the Millennium Falcon, like, Lego thing, right? And so, a couple of years ago, as an adult, I got that as a Christmas present. That was my Christmas present from my family, was the Millennium Falcon Lego thing.
Nice.
It's ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
It's huge and it's monstrous, and I built it with my youngest, and it was cool to do it, but, you know, I never bought it for myself, and I never, you know, it was just not something that I would immerse myself in at that level. Putting up stuff in, you know, my office and creating an environment. No, it's ridiculous.
That would be funny, though.
It would be really cool to be that passionate about something.
You go in for your yearly review in Steve's office, and it's just decked out like Yoda's...
it's the Millennium Falcon.
The Millennium Falcon, sure, yeah.
I'm going on opening day, too, to Star Wars, actually.
I'm not
a big fan of sci-fi, and I don't even... Not huge into the Star Wars, but I like the series. And I think the new ones are going to be good. It's probably because my expectations are just about middle of the road. Like, I'm not expecting it to be amazing or terrible. It's probably just going to be entertaining.
So yeah.
It's going to be a good time.
Should be.
Yeah.
Should be. I was more on your side of the fence growing up. Star Trek didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it captured me later in my experience. And so I'm going back now. My youngest and I are watching the original series. That's what we said. Look, let's start, and we're going to go through the whole thing. God. We're going to go through the original series, and then we'll decide, you know, where do we go from there. But at least get the basics of what this thing is. Because I saw it kind of secondary, reruns, this and that and the other, but never really understood all of it. So I'm doing the whole original series, which isn't that much, really. But all the other stuff, like you're talking about Next Generation and all these other things, there's a lot to consume if you try to do it all. And I'm not going to be able to do it all.
As those shows were on in the 90s and I was watching them, that's what got me into Star Trek. Looking back at the original series, not seeing all of those episodes, it was kind of like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. I know they referenced them here and there and whatever. But the Next Generation was, I think, well written. And that's what got me into the Star Trek universe. Just the Captain Picards and the Datas and all that stuff was very I just liked it was a well-written show, and good for its time. So that's
so. With the little time we have remaining, can we make some type of Star Wars analogy with IBM and Core IT? Is Core IT the Rebels or retained? I'm sorry, retained IT. That's what I meant to say.
It would have been really disappointing had Dion not done something once.
I kind of baited you into that. That's my fault, really.
I wanted to get an edit in.
Wow.
Well, I was going to say we almost talked an entire podcast without transformation update, when it was probably the biggest update we could have announced this week, in the fact that we went globally 24/7. So kind of a big deal, but we were almost... Let's just spend 30 seconds talking about the fact that the entire agency is now transformed. Okay, global. Now we're done. Thanks.
We're not across the globe.
We're still in the middle of transformation. The service desk is live. Globally for a lot of offices.
For the first time in this agency's history...
We have a 24/7 help
desk. We have one place where they're supposed to go. It might be 3,200 different phone numbers or email addresses.
I was about to say one place, 10,000 phone numbers.
One place where they're supposed to go.
So he had to discount it. I thought we were going to get away with a semi-positive. I know you brought up the Sith in relation to this whole thing, but
I was going for a cheap laugh. I got to be honest.
And the only thing I can think about this week are the 24 offices that have been completely discounted because they're out of scope.
They're not discounted.
So...
The perspective on this is all wrong. They're not discounted.
I know.
In a lot of ways, they're in a far better place.
Yeah, you're in a better place. We're not going to service you.
We're
terrible.
Understand this. It's just one of those. We've communicated so much to so many, and yeah.
Well, I want to be positive about this. I am very positive. So can someone show me where the phone number is so I can call support and kind of like thank them?
Guys, just want you to know I'm a big fan of what you're doing.
Yeah. Say hello.
Very easily, there's a URL.
Uh-huh.
Who uses a phone anymore? What year is this,
yeah,
Kevin?
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
I just dropped my phone in the toilet again. So.
Ouch.
No, I'm just kidding.
Too soon, Gavin. Too soon. All right. Well, I think maybe we, unless you got more to say about the pod.
I was going to give him the phone number to dial.
No, that's all right. That's all right. I was just trying to stir some things up.
You sure? Because I can get to the contact us.
Well,
Dan
digs up the phone. I think we are the Worldwide IT Guys. Thanks for those of you that might be listening. Still out there. Sorry about the mishap last week, but hopefully we'll make up for it down the road and have a good one. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
What, no phone number? You're not going to...
You were shutting it down real quick. I wasn't going to, like, just pop it in, so...
I was going to, you know, that was going to fade out on you.
That'll be the title of this podcast, just the phone number. Just the digits.
Fade to service now.